Good afternoon. It is Wednesday, July 23rd. I am your host, Stan Jastrzebski, and this is Ask the Mayor. We are pleased to be joined this week, as we are every fourth Wednesday of the month, by Kokomo Mayor Greg Goodnight. Mr. Mayor, thanks for being here.
Stan, thank you very much for having me.
Before we get started, it is my duty to point out there are a couple of ways that you, the listener, can submit your questions to Mayor Goodnight during our next half hour. If you're near a telephone, you might want to grab a pen and paper and jot down these two phone numbers by which you can reach us. They are area code 812-855-0811 if you're in the local listening area. If you're further away, call us toll-free at 877-285-9348. And if email is more your speed, email us now or anytime, really, at mayor@indiana.edu. Mayor Goodnight, in the month since we last spoke, there have been a couple of developments regarding the city's annexation plan. The proposal has now been scaled back a little bit from about 12 square miles of annexed land to about 10. What prompted that decision and that move?
Well, that was the city council had met in committee. They'd formed a committee of four members, and they had met with other members of the council and came back, met with the administration, myself, and the city engineer, city attorney, and went from that and just on some of their recommendations, thought it might make more sense to carve some of the areas out that in the plan, and that's really what prompted it. Just their recommendation, the council. Right now, it's in their hands, and they, I think the committee made these recommendations, and then it passed 8-1 last week. So, yeah.
How are the parcels of land that are no longer part of the annexation plan decided on in terms of these are the ones we'd like to exclude?
That's a great question, because the area that they looked at was predominantly to the west of the current city boundaries. It's funny, when we did some of our presentations, the city did not go, everything that we were annexing in the original proposal was within a mile. A lot of it, of course, was surrounded by the city's other, just butted right up against. But the furthest areas were still within a mile of the current city boundaries. But they looked at some of them that maybe seemed a little more distant because they had some farmland in between, I think was the main reason, that they had some areas that were zoned agricultural and in between some of these subdivisions, and I think that was predominantly what caused them to make their changes.
Obviously, there are fewer residents of the county now who are being annexed into the city as a result of this, and there are some people who are still fighting the plan who say that the move amounts to a trick of the legal system of sorts, since there may not now be enough residents in the affected area to mount an official resistance movement according to how state law reads it. And they're concerned that the city isn't playing fair here. How have you responded to them?
Well, there have, of course, some of the people, unfortunately, and I'll just say this, that most of the people that I have been in contact with have especially on the one-on-one, the letters and some of these, there's been talks about some of the remonstrators have threatened or done some things to intimidate some people. I personally have not experienced that. The ones that have sent me letters, other than, just saying they don't support me or they will work hard against me and all those things, and that's their right, and I don't have a problem. I don't take those as threats anyway. That's just their right to participate in our system. The areas and some of the talk that it was done for those type of reasons, if it was up to me, we wouldn't have carved anything out. So I can't, I'm pretty sure the council didn't look at that, because they never asked that question in my presence. Well, what will this do to make our chances of success stronger? So I don't think they have that information, and if they have, they've never shared it with me that was some of their reasoning. I think they looked at it that these areas are somewhat separated by some agricultural parcels, and I don't think there was anything to that, but it was a council decision, and like I said, if it was up to me, we would have left the areas in.
You mentioned you've been getting some letters from people. Can you describe the general tone of those letters?
Well, most of them. I get them both ways. I got an email this morning from a resident. It says, as a taxpayer within city limits, I want the annexation in whole, not in part, to be adopted as soon as possible. or I propose that every city service that I pay for, I would like no demand, a user fee per hour of occurrence for non-exed, and it goes on talking some of that. So I get them both ways, but the ones from the opponents are generally form letters, and then they'll put maybe their individual comments, and some of them, everybody's issue is different. Some of the areas, when you talk with people, even the people that are opposed to it, understand that area is completely surrounded by the city. It only makes sense. It gets back to the, well, it makes sense for them, but not for me kind of theory. There's just a lot of form letters. But I've gotten people that, I have friends in some of the neighborhoods that say that their neighbors are hostile towards them because they support it. And they've shared with me they're taking some heat from their neighbors, and I think that's unfortunate.
You'll have to excuse me for a second. I put on my tinfoil conspiracy theory hat for a moment this morning, and I thought, is it any at all possible this is the plan in the back of someone's mind all the time, that if the resistance becomes strong enough or vocal enough, that there's this measure by which the game can be rigged in the city's favor, and now that they can't get the necessary signatures, now the annexation must move forward?
The only thing I'll say is, first of all, I'm not sure where you found the tinfoil, because there's a lot of those people with those hats on, the conspiracy theorists up here, so I'm glad there's still – I thought there might be a shortage of tinfoil, so I'm glad you found some. It's kind of funny. Some of the people that are kind of leading the charge seem to be – no matter what you do, it's, you take them out, they're mad. You leave them in, they're mad. I guess it's just individual people's, it's the way some people are wired. It's just kind of funny for me. I live in the county. People forget to, don't realize sometimes that Kokomo is part of Howard County. People in Kokomo pay county taxes. We pay for the sheriff, we pay for the courts, we pay for the jail. In fact, we pay a majority of taxes paid in Howard County, the county government, or come from the city of Kokomo. And areas that are completely surrounded that say that, well, I'm completely surrounded by the city, but I don't want to be a part of it. I don't think I have that option that I can say, well, yeah, I'm completely surrounded by Howard County, but I don't want to be a part of it. It's almost comical that they live on the fringe, or they live in a surrounding area, or some of these areas are surrounded 75-80%, but they don't see them as being, part of the city. When people look at it from the outside, anybody that's not involved in it, it seems pretty simple. Most people think.
I'll come back to this topic. I'll give you a break for a second. We have a caller on the line. Dick, thanks for calling. What would you like to ask the mayor?
I'd like to ask the mayor about his thoughts regarding Kokomo's government access channel.
Oh, okay. My thoughts are I think it's a need in the community. I wish it was there was a way to fund it and just a little bit more. I think we need to take it to the next level, and I think what's hurting us is just a lack of money to put somebody dedicated to that. But I think the possibilities of expanding it to include things like the school systems. I have these ideas that we could have student of the week or athlete of the week from the various schools, and be more of a community channel that ties in with the schools is how I would love to eventually see the channel expand to. But other than that, I think it serves its purpose, and. I get a lot of people that surprisingly watch things like Board of Works meetings and Plan Commission meetings.
All right,
Dick. I hope that answers it.
Thanks so much for your call. We appreciate it. I'd like to return to annexation for just a second. Recently, State Senator Jim Buck has come out publicly against the annexation proposal, so much so that he says he now hopes he can support legislation in the next session which would change the voting structure such that only a simple majority of homeowners affected would have to vote against the annexation to stop it. And you've said publicly that you think he's bandwagon jumping. Is that correct?
I don't know if I said that exactly, but that's pretty much it. Yeah, I think that's a fair. Jim Buck's for a state senator, he seems to be a little unaware of the laws and he's in the city's classification. He was in the paper last week and said that this was the reason we were doing this was to become a second class city, and he was completely oblivious to the fact that we were already a second-class city. So he's not quite sure of Kokomo's form of government, even though he represents the entire city in the Senate and represented it a portion of the city for years in the state legislature when he was a state representative. So sometimes you have to wonder how attuned he is to the whole political system, but. He's kind of jumped on the bandwagon, but if I've known the senator for a long time, and that's usually the way he does things. He puts the tests the winds and see which way they're blowing, and he's not alone in that. There's others that do that as well, and I just think in today's climate, with all the problems we have nationally, I always talk about the national economic indicators: unemployment, home values. The banking industry, the number of people uninsured, the national debt, trade deficit, all those things. I think our country is really, we need leaders and not politicians. We need people with ideas and I think, we don't need people that are, just out, trying to look out for their next re-election. I always say that if I was looking out for my next re-election, I wouldn't be bringing 10,000 citizens from the other party into the city. It's not a personal grab for me. It's most people think it's political suicide, but it is right for the city. That's what we should be looking at.
Well, and you and I talked about that a month ago, that very thing, and I'm wondering if as this rolls along. Are you concerned that this issue, which has more or less thus far, I think, defined your first year in office, could it cast a pall over the remaining three or more?
Yes, I think. I think that always is a possibility. Absolutely, and I guess this may be what troubles some people about me the most is I really didn't take the job to make a career out of it. I enjoy this. Job. You take the people that are against this out of it. I think in 7 months we've done some really good things. We've straightened out some things and kind of started in our own direction. One thing that the Senator Buck brings up, where he's misinformed as well, is he says he always likes to say the city's broke. The city's not broke. We have. He made a comment in the paper. We're being asked to co-sign the debt that the city now has. The city doesn't have hardly any debt. We have a couple of sewer bonds, but we have no other loans under the property tax part. We have no debt. The city has, because of House Bill 1001, we're going to have to make some tough choices in the next couple years, and we are laying the groundwork for that. We've got some things that we'll be introducing this week, and it'll involve take-home vehicle policies. It will talk about changes to the city's health care plan for employees. There's about six or seven things that we've got that will help straighten that out, and we've got 2 years to do this, and we've begun that process, and regardless of annexation, the city's at the end of my first term, if it's the only term, we will leave the city in better financial shape than when I took office.
I want to get back to the city's finances in just a second.
Sure.
Last question about annexation for now.
That's fair. I'm okay. I'm on your time, so I'm okay.
What do you make of the fact that people have begun coming to your front lawn to express the fact that they are unhappy with this?
I didn't see them. Somebody told me there were six. Somebody said there were nine people, and it's okay. It doesn't bother me personally. Had I been home, I don't have a problem talking about this to anybody. I try to make a couple phone calls a day if somebody sends me a letter or wants to talk about it, or I'll drop them a quick email. So it's okay if that's they've. you know, they have my attention, but I'm not somebody that can be bullied. So, and I'm not saying that's exactly what they're trying to do. I think there's some that may feel that if they scream at me loud enough, that somehow I'll change. But they don't quite remember I'm a former union president with the Steelworkers Union, and I'm not really one to be intimidated. And they can continue to test that. That's okay. But I also have a lot of people that tell me time and time again. I went to a business the other day, and the person said this is the right thing to do, and I support you in it. And so I'm okay with it.
On to talk about money. The city of Bloomington right now, as we speak, is actually estimating its departmental budgets for next year. And one common theme that we're seeing night after night in these budget meetings is that gas costs are just throwing everything out of whack.
Yes.
Has Kokomo begun this examination process yet? And if so, what are fuel costs doing to your folks' projections?
That's a very good point, and it is. I was at a mayor's conference last week. That's why I wasn't able to when they came to the house. But it is a predominant theme throughout the state, and I'm sure throughout the country. The city of Kokomo is probably going to spend about $200,000 to $250,000 more this year than we budgeted last year for fuel costs. We are making some changes. I can't go into it too much. But we're making some changes here in the next. We've got a plan. I'm hoping in the next couple months that will reduce some of those costs. One of the things that we've done, I think I've spoken about this. I think I have on the show. We started in our new trash pickup system. We have one-arm totes. That the process is you go up one side of the street, down the other, and you have to hit crisscross the city and going up and down each street two times because they're one-arm trash packers that pick up trash on the one side of the truck. And we have begun the process of shifting, we hope, about 80% of the city. There's some roads that wouldn't make sense. They're four-lane roads and some cul-de-sacs and things. But we want to put most of the city where the residents take their totes across the street, or half of the people do, and we think we can save a lot on fuel costs. We don't have all the estimates, all the numbers together, but we think we can save that way, plus wear and tear on the vehicles and save time and keep the cost of trash pickup down where we don't have to put in a user fee like some cities are doing. So, but to answer your question, yes, fuel costs are a big problem, and we're beginning the budget process, and it's a little bit of a crapshoot on trying to estimate what our costs will be for next year.
We have another caller on the line. Eric, thanks for calling. What would you like to ask the mayor?
Hi. I know that Mayor Goodnight had mentioned he was interested with the whole annexation thing, that he was interested in doing what's right for the city, and I know that the city had passed a non-smoking bill a few months ago. Although it left quite a few loopholes in there, they didn't protect quite a few of the non-smokers out there in the community. And I was hoping that perhaps the mayor would now be interested in maybe closing some of those loopholes as the Miami County is looking into doing with their non-smoking law. And I'm interested in what the mayor's take would be on maybe closing some of those loopholes would be.
That's a great question. And that's not the first time I've been asked that since taking office. I've had probably only a handful of people ask that. A couple years ago, we passed a smoking ban, and the loopholes that he's talking about, that we left it open that you can, any place that where you have to be 21, a bar to get in, that where it eliminates children, they're allowed to smoke there, as well as private clubs and not-for-profits, I believe, fall in that as well, things like the VFW and the American Legion and places like that. I think that I'm open to looking at some of those things, although I'm not committed. When I spoke on this issue a few years ago, when it was before the council, I mentioned that these smoking, we have eventually switched to a non-smoking society. I can remember at high school football games, parents right in the football stands at high school football games were smoking, and right next to the field. And then we've slowly People used to smoke on airplanes, and we've slowly changed our behavior. And I would look at that. I'm not committed to either side at this point, and I haven't had a lot of people say I haven't been asked that a lot. But I don't know. It's been a couple years, as Eric pointed out, and the world hasn't. Some people said gloom and doom. The world would come to an end if Kokomo passed a smoking ban, and that didn't happen. So I think it should be looked at least.
Thank you, Eric, for your call. We appreciate it. Reminder that you can get into the program in just the few minutes we have left. You can call us at 812-855-0811. You may also dial us toll-free at 877-285-9348. You can email us as well. mayor@indiana.edu is our email address. As it happens, we have an email here. And, Mr. Mayor, the emailer would like to know when and if city police are going to crack down on what he sees as a prostitution problem in several local strip clubs. He says there are online websites that have what he calls detailed and graphic descriptions on what girls offer what services. And he says he happened upon this accidentally by doing a Google search, and he suspects that other people may as well, and wonders if the city has plans to address this problem.
Honestly, this is the first time I have heard of something like that. I do not, honestly, don't spend a lot of time online. Most of my day is consumed with meetings and such. I would love for this person to email the, even if they want to do it anonymously, the areas or the websites they're talking about, and if it's specific to Kokomo, absolutely. We will do everything in our power, and so yes, absolutely. Please get that information to me. I would love to help out with that. And you can if the caller hopefully is still listening, you can email me at mayor@cityofkokomo.org. That is my direct email. And if you would, please pass that on, and we will hand it over immediately.
On to another topic briefly. I want to talk about U.S. 31. In the last month, the state has agreed to take over the upkeep of the road, the costs therein. And how important is it that the state make that concession?
I think it's important for both for all local government. I went down to the meeting. It was myself and Larry Ice from the Coordinating Council, and one of the county commissioners went down and had a private meeting with Carl Browning. And I think it's, well, two things. Number one, I think it's good to put the issue to rest. Now we know they're going to continue maintaining and be responsible for the current U.S. 31, which means we can now put that to rest, no longer have to worry about the uncertainties of having that handed over to us. And then, two, the fact that they're doing it, I hope that and he was very honest, I will say, Carl Browning said that they've got a lot of roads, and this is one of however many thousands of miles of road that they must maintain, and when the new freeway comes in, they'll have that as well. But they will do their best to keep up on it and maintain it. So I think it's important that it will not be handed over to local government, especially since it's not designed at this point to be a local road. There aren't curbs and street lighting on most of it and things like that.
There was a report in the Washington Post the other day that Hillary Clinton may still owe about $2,000 to Kokomo Center Schools from her time campaigning in Indiana. Are you aware of whether this debt still exists at all?
You know, I am not, and I missed that, but it's funny. I have a meeting at 1:30 this afternoon with the new superintendent of the Kokomo Center Schools.
Well, now you've got something to ask him.
I will. That'll find out that where we're at with that, and I will throw that at him. I was not aware. I'll find out, and then next month you can ask for my response on that.
You can count on it. Is there a balance between candidate Clinton went through places even like Bloomington and had debts for a while. And I'm wondering if there's a balance in your mind between the publicity, the positive publicity that's generated for a city that a presidential candidate visits versus the amount of financial cost that the city might assume, at least on a short-term basis, to have that candidate there. Where do you see that balance falling?
That's a good question, and I'm not sure because there's so many different entities. Kokomo Center Schools, of course, we provided some officers at the events and help with the Secret Service. So, and I never got a true cost on that. For a town like Kokomo, anytime we get a sitting senator from either party to come and we're going to go out of our way to make sure that they're protected and things. So it's a tough call, I'm sure, especially if they've got a lot of expenses, things like a gym and any other outlying expenses. But I think it's important for a community like us to have the some recognition For Kokomo, it's nice to have somebody with that type of status here occasionally.
Lastly, I hesitate to say a fun story, but the one that's gotten the most national buzz over the last week, you already know where this is going.
Does it have anything to do with a motorcycle?
It does.
Okay.
For those who haven't heard, a local pastor trying to show the concept of unity to his congregation ended up crashing his motorcycle in church and injuring himself. Any chance the city's going to enact an ordinance that say motorbikes should be in the parking lot and not say in church sanctuaries?
You know, at this point, the church in question is just outside city boundaries, not in an area to be proposed to be annexed. It's on the very south end of town. No one else has asked me that, Stan. That's an unusual question, but it's only been a couple days. There's nothing in the works on our end. If there's a councilman that brings it to me, I will definitely consider it. But hopefully that was a one-time event, and we won't have any of those type of situations in the near future.
This, I suppose, falls in the same line of questioning as my question about Senator Clinton, and that is if Kokomo ends up with publicity for stories like this, I mean, are the questions you get stranger, or is there no such thing as bad publicity in this case?
I think there is a such thing as bad publicity, actually. And this one, I don't think it necessarily falls into that category. When you get some of the fringe groups that want to do marches and some of the radical extremist groups, I think that can bring negative attention. Fortunately, we haven't had any of those type of things in years. But this one... with the pastor, I don't think it falls into that. It's probably more into, instead of a negative story, maybe one of these strange but weird type categories. And so I don't know if it's necessarily too negative.
Have you heard from many national media outlets? I mean, people like the Chicago Tribune have covered this. Have they been calling you and asking for your take on what's going on down there?
No, they haven't. Nobody's called. I did was watching CNN last night, and they ran the trailer across the bottom, had a little story on it, and I do know it made National Public Radio yesterday morning as well. But no one's called for comment. And we'll just wait and see. Hopefully there won't be too much more to it.
I'm proud to say that we here at NPR stations do our best to cover the motorbike in church, beat as closely as we possibly can.
And please keep me posted of any other incidents throughout the country if it comes up as well.
We'll do what we can. Well, we are out of time for today's program. My thanks, as always, to Mayor Goodnight, to our callers and our emailers. Engineer Michael Pashkash pushing the buttons in the other room so it makes it sound like I know what I'm doing. Producer Colin Bishop as well. We will be back again next month. Mr. Mayor, we hope to talk to you then.